We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, you had posted something yesterday on Facebook about some of the great comebacks of all time and where this one ranks. And I think you put it at number one, or you didn't list the order, but it certainly could be right up there because of the magnitude of what happened with the Minnesota Miracle. You could certainly say that's number one. However, put him in a championship game, but they wound up losing. This could vault them. The confidence level they must have after a game and a win like that has got to be through the roof. But what, to you, what is the biggest comeback win? And by the way, against a team that had not given up 14 or more points when they've had that kind of lead in the second half in nearly half a century. So that was an incredible comeback for the Vikings.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they were out of it a few times. I understand the Bills' Twitter manager had to take down a tweet that said fourth down stop ball game. They've since deleted that tweet from when they had the goal line stand against the Vikings. And then, of course, strange things happened after that.
Incredible strange.
But in terms of where this ranks, you know, like I said, it's, I think we have to wait to see how the season plays out. But just in terms of sheer improbability, in probability of the comeback, you know, it's definitely up there with the Minneapolis Miracle, the New Orleans playoff game. The other ones that have been were discussed, and it's a Facebook group called Minnesota Vikings Purple Encyclopedia. It's a bunch of Vikings fans, including a lot of former players, and I think, Bob, I think you are or were a member of that.
Yeah, I'm still
too.
A member of it.
It's an eclectic elite group of folks that discuss this stuff. But so we had the Miracle. We had the Brett Favre to Greg Lewis in 2009 against the 49ers, where Lewis toe taps the end zone and gets down there. We have, of course, the Cleveland Hail Mary game in 1980, where Tommy Kramer brought him back, you know, went 80 yards in 20 seconds and won the game and the division. So that one has some extra impact given that it did win the division. And then Tommy had another one in 77 against the 49ers out at Met Stadium, where he did three touchdowns in the last 8.5 minutes. And they won, and they came back. They were down like 24-3, and then came and ended up winning 28-27. The other one, I think you covered this one in 85 in Philadelphia, where they were down like 23-0 in the fourth quarter and ended up winning 28-23.
You know what's interesting about that game? I had already written my story. I was ready to go, and I had savaged Wade Wilson, who I believe was Wade who had the comeback win. And that's back when the media could fly on the team plane. I showed Wilson the story I had written ahead of time, you know, if they had lost. And I said, this is what was going to appear if you guys had lost this game. And it was funny, you know, because he did that. He was behind the comeback, and he would have been the GOAT otherwise. So it's that was a very impressive game. As a matter of fact, I think that was a game where they couldn't get out of town that night. And they wound up spending the night.
You're right.
Yeah, that's my recollection of it. So it was something. That was a memorable one. This one though is so many things happened. I saw something that was it Bring Me the News or an SI story that they were ripping Cousins. Now I'm not a Cousins fan, but you know his passes weren't that good. That he had to go up. You know that was Justin Jefferson. Remember the play that propelled the 49ers to their first Super Bowl, the great Dwight Clark catch in the end zone.
Yep.
Well, that pass was way over his head, too. Players, I mean, quarterbacks make throws and receivers make great catches. And that one-handed catch, that will be one of the best one-handed candid catches you'll ever see. And one of the other ones that one of the best you'll ever see is one Stephon Diggs made.
Right. I was just going to say, that's the memorable part of this game is that, you know, kind of the side stories is you've got Stephon Diggs making the great catch on the Buffalo side, and then Justin Jefferson doing it's like, here, hold my beer for the Vikings. I understand that, you know, how the players like to trade jerseys after the game. I understand that Jefferson asked Diggs to trade jerseys with him. So those kind of appropriate, those two guys traded jerseys with each other. Yeah, you know, the funny thing, it's funny, it was the fumble in the end zone, the touchdown, the one that put the Vikings ahead, you know, they get the goal line stand. I remember I had been following it. That I kind of shut it off. I was kind of following on Twitter. And I remember someone saying, well, they're on the goal line, so they can't go victory formation. They're going to have to run a play. And it was almost like they jinxed the Bills, right? And, you know, it was, you know, and if you listen to the radio call, they're thinking, you know, they're yelling at it, call the safety, call the safety. He didn't get out of the end zone. They're like, wait a minute, what's going on down there? And then you see the arm, you know, his arms go up, and they realize that it was actually a fumble and a touchdown.
Well, I was wondering about that, too, because maybe they should have called because he had no place to kneel. He would have needed a push ahead by at least a few feet to get down because there was no room to go down. And it was a bad snap and a bad handle on Josh Allen's part. But really, when you're there, there's not much you can do. I was even thinking if you don't take the safety on purpose, go and drop back into drop back a little bit, go into where you can throw the ball, just heave the ball. There's nobody back there, and just run a few more seconds off the clock. Or give it to your running back to try to get a few yards. Something had to be done, not that, because I don't think he would have come down, past the goal line, even if he did get the ball in a clean snap.
Yeah, yeah, and then of course, you know, at that point, all eyes were still on Greg Joseph, because if he doesn't miss the extra point earlier,
it's over.
It's over. And so, you know, there was unnecessarily, you know, dramatic there with, you know, the Bills can go down and they tie it, and then we get fortunately he redeemed himself kicking the field goal, and then, of course, Patrick Peterson had the great interception. But, yeah, that was about as memorable, improbable as it gets, and I hope it does boost their confidence. I did see they're already installed as underdogs at home by 2.5 points against the Cowboys.
You know what?
That
Cowboys team is not impressive. Dak Prescott is not impressive. I watched that game against the Packers. His passes are all over the place. I don't think that's that great a team. I thought they would roll the Packers. And where's that vaunted pass rush that they have?
Right.
I thought they had with Micah Parsons. I was not greatly impressed by the Cowboys. And so wait a minute, the Vikings are not favored to beat the Cowboys?
The opening line was the Cowboys are favored by 2.5.
Okay, I don't see that at all, particularly since that team, like I said, was not that impressive. He's got one guy he throws to, CeeDee Lamb, and you know, maybe Dalton Schultz. He doesn't use Tony Pollard was a receiver in college, and I think he threw to him one or two times. So he's not using his running backs. He's got two guys that he goes to. And that's pretty much exclusively it. So that will be an interesting game. And if you're a Vikings fan, I would say, yeah, it'll be a letdown. But this team is not like any other Vikings team that we can remember in recent memory. They are finding ways, absolutely finding ways to win. And now after this, their confidence has got to be soaring. Now,
well, the important thing too is that there, other than a couple, and I know they got Darisaw and I think Hawkinson are in concussion protocol, but for the most part, they've stayed healthy, and that's really the name of the game, is you stay healthy and play for good playoff seeding and then the real season kicks in the playoffs.
Well, the other thing where I think Buffalo made a mistake, they're a big believer, and Leslie Frazier, the former Vikings coach, their defensive coordinator, in rushing just four guys. Now, they did blitz at times, but there were times when I think they should have been coming at him hard because he does get rattled, and I don't think that's changed, but, we'll see what happens. Now, the St. John Johnnies beat Bethel. It was a rematch for the championship and the automatic bid into the NCAA Division III playoffs. They wind up getting, is it Northwestern of St. Paul? They're going to just crush them. I mean, it's one of these teams that they're just going to roll over, and then it gets tougher after that. But they got the home game, and that's a big deal. Your Tommies don't. They beat Stetson. They beat the Hats and get at least a share of the of their conference championship. And I think Butler, I mean, there's still things that have to. Butler lost, so I think it's going to be very difficult for them not to win that championship, their conference championship. So that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Gophers wing, woo woo. So, but the Johnnies though, that this is a team. Even though they lost that game to Bethel, they could do some damage in the NCAA playoffs because it is one heck of a team that's gotten better, clearly gotten better since that loss to Bethel.
I think they're still like ranked number 4 in D3. I saw our mutual friend Boz Bostrom put up his bracket on Facebook because, you know, for Division III, they do a bracket like the basketball tournament. And not surprising, Boz has St. John's going all the way.
No.
But I think that every year they're in the playoffs, I think his bracket looks similar.
Well, you know what, though? He is a Johnny's. He played football there. He taught with John Gilardi, a class, still teaches that class. He's a great guy. He's the reason my son went to St. John's.
He is.
Took a visit, and he took us around the campus, and it was great. I mean, Boz is a terrific guy and one heck of a professor. All right, Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone, greatly appreciate it.